Lord, as we sing that very ancient hymn this morning, we pray, it is our prayer and our desire that we would have one vision, and that is you, that you would be the center of our lives. And so we pray this morning you would direct us through your word how we might live and move and have our being. It's in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this morning is from the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I've read this quite a bit, so I have it in here, but it is written. What a reading this is. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, "Shout." I asked, "What should I shout?" "Shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Have you never heard? Have you never understood that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord, they will renew. They will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. So a few weeks ago, I was going through an old box. Some of you may know this. After you've been moved for years and you find a box you have not unpacked, has that ever happened to you before? All the time. And I found a box of notebooks that I had in seminary that I had taken notes furiously with some of my seminary professors. And one of the books, one of my notebooks I was looking at, and one of my professors said, and he had been in ministry for 35 years, it was his opinion, and he said this to all us young ministers who were about to be young ministers. He said, "I don't believe some of you are going to feel tempted to write a book in the next decade when you think you know it all in ministry." And he said, "It's my counsel to you that nobody in ministry should ever write a book until they've been in it for at least 20 years. And he said, "Because you're going to look back on what you preached in the very beginning of your ministry, and you're going to think, what was I thinking back then?" That's kind of where this message is going this morning, because I want to ask the question, how do we connect God's faithfulness, the promises of the scripture, to what we find as our present day realities? And let me see if I can paint it like this, have this up and down idea we find in the scriptures. Let me put this picture up here. That passage I just read a minute ago, it is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. You know this one. You've seen it. We see it on magnets, on refrigerators. We see it in Thomas Kincaid calendars. We see it we go into the Christian bookstores. It's all over the place, right? Have you seen it, right? Some of you may have. This may be one of your favorite scriptures. It gives an incredible imagery of who God is desiring us to be. And we look at the very beginning of this chapter, and we see this is a foreshadow of God's, kind of God's grace and the Messiah coming into the world. And then we get to the very end of it. We see the very end of it. It's talking about those who trust in God will fly like eagles. It's wonderful imagery. It's inspiring. It's filled with devotional. We see this in all kind of devotionals. But here's the thing I kind of find amazing about this. If you look at the middle part of the chapter, in this chapter there, chapter 40, a voice from God shouts to Isaiah, and he says, Isaiah, I want you to shout. And Isaiah says, what you do want me to shout? And this is what he says. Shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers of the field. That's what I want you to shout. Now, I want to underscore that there. Shout that people are like the grass. Now, I can tell you, I've looked good and hard. I don't find many refrigerator magnets that say this. I don't see many calendars in May that have this, put this scripture up here. And there's probably all kind of reasons for this, but it's not something that immediately brings about inspiration, right? And yet it rebounds after this, and it says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. And then it says this next verse up here. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them. This is God holding those lambs close to his heart. Now, we like this. We're back to magnets again and calendars. We like this language. But as soon as we get on top, it rebounds again the other direction. And it says this next verse, God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. So now we're grasshoppers. And the idea here is to show us here, at least in part, that we're from God sits on high, and how he sees us down here, we do appear to be grasshoppers. But you see the contrast here. At one moment, we are eagles. In another moment, we're blades of grass. In one moment, we are like lambs. In another moment, we are being compared to grasshoppers. Up and down, up and down. Not unlike, by the way, the story of our lives. Have you discovered that? And I'm, by the way, these questions I'm asking, I'm not the first to ask this, and I don't think anybody here is the first to even think this. Honest questions, honest thoughts that deserve honest answers. What I found kind of amazing about this, though, is very often when I am looking at text, I will look or listen or look up how people maybe have taught this, so I'm not going way off base on it. And when I looked up these passages about mounting up with wings like eagles and, you know, being like lambs, there were literally tens of thousands of sermons I found online for these. Tens of thousands. When I looked up messages about being grasshoppers and blades of grass, basically, from lack of a pun, crickets, okay? Why is that? Here's the truth of the matter, because our lives are not refrigerator magnets. Our lives are not Thomas Kincaid calendars. Here's what I know. As I was mentioning earlier, 20 years ago, the messages I gave out of seminary 22 years ago is entirely different. And let me just give you an example of this. I want to put this next passage up here. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures, many of yours, this was read at least in our wedding. This is our chief text here. And I believe this to be true. I believe this to be accurate. I believe this to be one of the promises of God. And yet, here's what I know as a presbyter, as a minister, as a pastor. How I understand this passage now compared to how I understood it 20 years ago is entirely different. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? I want you to imagine if you were up here and you were sharing that passage of people, and you look out into your congregation and you see the young mother sitting on the front row who just a few months earlier lost her husband suddenly, and now she's raising three small children on her own. How do we understand that passage? I want you to imagine sitting in the home of parents whose 8-year-old son just drowned in the backyard. How do we understand this passage? I want you to imagine sitting in front of a 20-year-old girl who's like a daughter to me and wrestling with this passage and her trying to understand why her twin sister died a few years earlier. I want you to imagine, understand this passage up here. And by the way, this is probably a huge swath of people, not only here but everywhere, who are deeply struggling with mental health. With no sign, it's going to get better. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Now, I believe this scripture to be true. And yet, how do we connect the faithfulness of the Bible, the gifts that God promises us as deer lambs, as eagles, living with grasshopper realities? Let me put it like that. And I like to say, I like just to put the skunk on the table, so to speak. Let's just get it out in the open. Let's just talk about this morning. In God's economy, let me put it this way. In God's economy, in our realities, can these realities both be true? Living with grasshopper realities, knowing the faithfulness of God, can they both be true? And the answer to that is yes, it is. But let me explain it for a few minutes. And I'm trying to, by the way, to understand and explain something that cannot be totally understood. But does God sit up on high and view us down below like grasshoppers? Yes. And yet we also know that he became a grasshopper. He came and lived down among the other grasshoppers. He did. So he was on high and he's also down low. And to ask ourselves the question here, when anything happens in our lives, this is what I'm constantly telling people, not only publicly but also privately, is that when we come across these tensions in the scriptures, living with grasshopper realities, to ask ourselves the question, okay, Lord, what do you want me to see while I'm in this? This is huge, huge. Give me eyes, Lord, to see what you see. In fact, this is one of the texts I'm preaching on in a few weeks. Elisha is seeing the reality of this army is getting ready to invade and wipe every one of his people out. And his servant is saying, we are in huge trouble. And Elisha prays, Lord, open his eye that he may see that angel army behind the enemy. Open his eyes that he may see. And that is our prayer. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. All the time knowing that our faith is still secure, and to admit we are both sheep and grasshoppers. We are both eagles and blades of grass. Both. Both sinful and yet loved. Then how are we to live? Let me put the passage up here. People are like the grass. Their beauty fades very quickly. Now, this is to communicate just how fast life goes. Now, back when I was in my early 20s, I remember someone came into my house one time. I was blasting the music, and he said, man, if you keep blasting your music, you're gonna begin to lose your hearing when you're in your 40s. He might as well told me that was gonna happen when I was 90. Okay, that was so far away. That was just a few years ago. And tomorrow I will be 70. Does it not seem like time travels and tumbles faster and faster and faster? Just like that, life just moves at an incredible pace. How then shall we live? What are we to do in our time here in our reality, living in this world right now with grasshopper realities? And I'm about majoring in the majors. And I'm convinced of this now more than ever. There are two great realities that this book upholds for us, that calls on us to live. And that is, it is a call of salvation and it's a call of stewardship. Salvation, and I believe this, that we are going to stand before God one day And there are basically two questions that are going to be asked of us. First of all, what did you do with my son Jesus? Did you believe in him? Did you follow after him? Did you trust in him? Do you know him? Does he know you? And secondly, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Did you just spend it all on yourself? And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the totality of our lives. Were you a person of generosity, or were you a person that just looked inwardly? And, you know, the scriptures talk about this. You know, let me put this passage up here. Many of you know this passage out of Micah. Oh, mortal. Or I might add here, oh, grasshopper. The Lord has shown you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. It's like he's saying, okay, as lambs, as grasshoppers, as eagles, as blades of grass, this is what is important. And what is it, this other part? To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's very interesting here that most of us have the idea to do what is right. Most of us think this is about just obeying the rules. You realize the people who were probably doing the most right in the New Testament were the Pharisees. They obeyed all the rules. But this goes much deeper than just rule obedience. This has to do with this idea of stewardship. What are you doing with your life? And my Old Testament professor, Dr. Bruce Waukee, used to tell us, I want to put this quote up here. He said, whenever the Old Testament Bible talks about the righteous, he says, the righteous are those who are willing to disadvantage themselves to advantage the community. The unrighteous disadvantage the community to advantage themselves. Yeah, that is deep. The just, the righteous, those who are doing the right thing are willing to sacrifice, to disadvantage themselves to advantage the community. And this word that is used there for righteous, it's an interchangeable word in the Old Testament. It means righteous, it means wisdom, it means justice. They're all interchangeable here. But that is the calling that we feel, the constant calling of humanity on us all the time. Which is, by the way, why I think we feel this incredible sadness and anxiousness as we're watching what's happening on the other part of the world right now. And it's to ask ourselves, because this is what Dr. Waukee was saying, the unrighteous don't feel compelled to help the poor. The unrighteous pull as much money out of their business to spend on themselves, even though their employees are suffering because of it. The unrighteous are not concerned about visiting their elderly neighbors. Which leads me to this passage up here, Proverbs, where it says this: do not withhold good from those who need it when you have the ability to be able to help. Let me see if I can explain this, just in reality that I'm living in right now. So many of you have been watching, not only what's happening around the world right now, but even months ago when we were watching what was taking place over in Afghanistan. And, you know, we've been praying for this for years. And we watched the fall of Afghanistan. And my wife and I said, we've got to do something. And so we were actively trying to adopt an Afghan family to bring in our home. Because right now there are 46,000 refugees living in our country right now on military bases. And 80% of them are women and children. And we have more prosperity right now in this country than the history of the world. And so Lisa and I were actually looking at it, and we found that we couldn't do it, but we found out that Samaritan's Purse has begun a ministry for churches to adopt Afghan families. that we would come alongside a family, find them a home, drive them places, teach them English, help their children. This is a ministry. This is a ministry because most likely they're Muslim. They've been ripped from their homeland. And so what our church is doing is we are entering into this phase right now. Father Owens has gotten behind it. We're having a meeting this Thursday night about it. If you have a heart to be a part of something like this, listen, if you show up there talking about how Muslims don't need to be in our country or wanting to build a wall, this is probably not the ministry for you, okay? But if you feel a calling to do right with this, you feel compelled to do this, come talk to me. Because this is talking about, this is bent on seeking the common good as a Christian, not just for our community, not just for our own people, not just for our own tribe, but the very people that God came to die for. See, my hope is we're not just givers, but we're willing to give everything. And we're not just takers. We're not just, we bring life, not death. And so our lives are one of production, not of just ones of consumption. Fruitfulness and faithfulness. So as grasshoppers, as eagles, as lambs, as blades of grass, we are called to do what is right. The other thing it says up here, let me put this other part, it says that is to love mercy. I've kind of underscored that here. I think it's worth repeating here to ask ourselves, what is the difference between grace and mercy? You ever thought about that? Because it seems like they're very similar. Grace is getting gifts and favor that we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting something we do deserve, which is punishment. It's a story of the gospel. God gives us salvation. We do not deserve it. He gives us mercy and withholds punishment from us that he took for himself for something that we deserve. And therefore, as Christians, of all people in the face of the earth, we should understand this better than anybody else. Grace and mercy. I'm telling you, mercy is a gift that is being quickly forgotten now in our culture. We live in a cancel culture now. We have forgotten what it means to have mercy for people who fall short. We've forgotten it. There is a line that I heard years ago. I read in some book about Abraham Lincoln. And it really bothered him of the lack of mercy that people had for slaves. And he said, "I feel sorry for the man who can't feel the whip when it's laid on the other man's back." Mercy, to do what is right and to love mercy. And this last part up here, to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly. I have a little saying on my desk, I look at there nearly every day, and that is, when I find myself confused or worried or anxious or bitter or frustrated, I have it up there in my desk, the best way forward is through humility. Asking, God, give me eyes to see what you see, and the best way is for it's through humility. I want to close with this illustration. I heard this from somebody else back a few months ago. I was listening to a podcast, and I heard it, and like, oh, I'm using that. I want to put these pictures up here of two people that I don't think any of us do not recognize, Princess Diana and Mother Teresa. It's coming up on 25 years this August where both of them died in the same week. And in this podcast, one of the commentators was mentioning, you know, they are two of the most visible women in human history. And both of them had incredible witness to the world. And yet they were on utterly different paths, utterly different influence. And what he went on to say is, like, whether people admit it or not, everybody wanted and wants to be like Diana. And the reason why, I mean, if you disagree with this, why are there endless books? shows, movies. Some of you watched The Crown, haven't you? Right? But very few ever want to be like Teresa. And here's the thing that he says. We could never be like Diana. First of all, we're not going to marry the Prince of Wales. And secondly, we're not as beautiful as she was. And thirdly, we're not called to be a celebrity. And yet everybody has the way to be like Teresa. She's called Saint Teresa. And a saint simply means someone who is following after Christ. We have never lacked for models of godly witness. The question is, this podcaster said, is we just don't want the suffering that comes with it. The long stretches of anonymity. The apparent lack of effectiveness that we all feel. The feeling of most days that we feel like a grasshopper. Those parts that we would rather not have. And yet, the way of Saint Teresa is always there before us. It's right there before us. And any day, you and I can wake up and say, I am walking the road of Teresa. Any day we can do that. And by the way, there's very little worthwhile going down that celebrity road. But every day we're going to be tempted to divert into some replica of the path of celebrity rather than the path of sainthood. And so it's my hope, really, my belief now is that I've come to believe this more than ever, is that our great danger for all of us in here, and I'm putting myself in here as well, our danger is not ruining our lives. Our great danger is wasting them. The Lord has shown you what is good. So, oh grasshoppers, oh lambs, oh eagles, oh blades of grass, to do what is good, to love mercy, in all your days to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray this morning as we confess our faith, as we pray prayers to you and for your church here and around the world, as we come to your table. Let this day begin a day for us, Lord, of beginning to walk the road of saints that have gone before us. That even though we live with incredible tensions in our lives, Lord, of we want to have days where we're flying like eagles. And yet there are more days of us living with grasshopper realities. Help us, Lord, in all things, look to you. That we would do right, love mercy, and walk humbly with you all our days. It's in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen.